Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, this is Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer. Coming up, if you've ever needed sign-off from San Francisco's Department of Building Inspection, you know what a Byzantine mess it is. Journalist Joe Eskenazi joins us to discuss his reporting on DBI's systemic patronage, corruption, and resistance to change. Then, a new documentary highlights the fight for paying restaurant workers and anyone else who works for tips the same minimum wage everyone else is entitled to. We'll talk with the people behind Waging Change about the fight to raise their wages and the powerful group opposing it. That's all ahead on Forum, right after the news. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, good morning. I'm Scott Schaefer. And as you may have heard, longtime Forum host Michael Krasny has retired. Mina Kim has been named the permanent host of the statewide 10 to 11 a.m. hour, and eventually we'll find a permanent new host for the 9 a.m. hour. But for now, we hope to bring you lots of different voices and perspectives in the first hour. And let's get started. And our first topic this hour is San Francisco's infamous Department of Building Inspection, or DBI. For years, DBI has been the focus of criminal investigations. The former director resigned in disgrace last year. For nearly a decade, there have been allegations of corruption, patronage, and the inability of DBI to just do its job, leaving anyone who needs a permit approval for a project at their home or business waiting and waiting and waiting, unless they know the right person. Well, Joe Eskenazi, managing editor at Mission Local, has been writing about DBI, and he's here to tell us some of what he's found. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
And let me open up the phone lines now, because this is a half-hour segment, and if you've had to deal with DBI, ever waited for a permit or a sign-off on a project, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you, 866-733-6786. Again, it's 866-733-6786. You can also reach us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum. And if you prefer, you can email us. It's forum@kqed.org. Joe, I kind of at the top there laid out what DBI does, but tell us a little bit more. What's their mission? What's it supposed to be?
Well, it's a big and complicated department. As you mentioned, it approves and goes over for safety and for code compliance the plans that people submit, and then it issues those permits. And then also, as the title suggests, there are in-the-field inspections to see that you're actually doing the work that you said you would do. And, you know, that's how it works in theory, at least. So they approve what you say you want to do, and then they check to see you're doing it.
And if they don't like what you want to do, they suggest or require changes before you can get approval.
Correct.
And how does San Francisco's DBI, how does it compare to either other similar agencies in the Bay Area, for example?
Not favorably. San Francisco's DBI, I mean, first, in our infinite wisdom as a city, we require permitting for lots more things. So we are subjecting our DBI to having to deal with a lot more permits. And that is a mixed bag because everything at DBI, or at least much of what goes on at DBI, is paper-based. In 2021, for lots of projects, you have to bring in reams of paper, and the papers have to go from desk to desk to desk at this department, and in fact, other departments, such as Public Works, in order to get that permitting. And this is a problem because it requires in-person meetings and requires you to go to person to person to person, all of which are things that can't happen right now. And also, if there's ever a logjam in a particular department, the wait times really add up because people cannot work on the projects concurrently because it's going from desk to desk to desk. So if there's a 13-week holdup in one department and a 2-week holdup in another, you're going to experience all of that. It's like getting getting consecutive sentences.
And as they say, time is money. Is this is it fair to say that this is one of many reasons that the cost of, say, housing is higher in San Francisco?
That would equate there are so many reasons, and the cost is so high that, you know, it's almost like negotiating the cost of furniture after you've purchased a house. At some point, it becomes academic. What isn't academic is that it makes sense if you are a big player or even a medium-sized player to hire someone to get you through this process. So in San Francisco, you have something called a permit expediter, which you really don't have in other parts of the state.
And their job is what?
And
we should say they don't work for the city, right? They work
for you.
Yeah.
It's like hiring a lawyer. You hire this guy or this woman to move you through the process smoothly and to get your permits approved.
So there have been for some time now, there's been an investigation of DBI, several really, but most recently one that has involved the former head of the Department of Public Works, Mohammed Nuru. I mentioned the top guy at DBI, Tom Wee, who was suspended over reports of wrongdoing. Before we get to him or them, you mentioned permit expediters, and one of those folks rises to the top, if that's the right phrase, Walter Wong. Tell us about him.
It's hard to overstate Walter Wong's grasp of this department. Walter Wong, who you know is kind of the smiling Zelig-like figure who is in the middle of everyone's Venn diagrams with the Mohammed Nuru scandal, is a by trade a contractor, owns a lot of property in the city, but also a permit expediter. And permit expediters aren't just experts. I used the example of a lawyer before. You know, you hire a lawyer because they know the law and you don't, and it would behoove you to hire someone who knows the law. But this is a little bit more like hiring somebody who knows the law and knows the judge. And in this case, Walter Wong seeded the department with people that he knew, people that were related to allies, etc., and moved his plans or his client's plans through them. So it wasn't just that he knew the system well, though he, of course, did. It's that the system was twisted to cater to his needs.
And he was caught up in that investigation, the federal investigation, and has now pleaded to maybe some lesser charges, and he has given evidence over regarding DPW's former head, Mohammed Nuru. What consequences does Walter Wong face at this point?
I mean, these are serious jail terms, but you know, if you're sticking a finger in the wind, just last week, Florence Kong, who was also caught up in the Nuru scandal. She pleaded guilty, and among other things, she lied to federal agents, and she bribed Nuru with a $36,500 Rolex. And the feds asked for 18 months, I think, in prison, and the judge granted a year and a day. So Wong is charged with more serious matters. It stems out of a kickback scheme at the Chinatown Hilton. But it was clear to anyone who read the charging documents on Harlan Kelly, the former head of the Public Utilities Commission, that Wong absolutely spilled his guts, that he handed over reams of documents, that he served up Harlan Kelly on a silver platter. So he is obviously cooperating wholeheartedly with the authorities, and he has purportedly kept very detailed notes on all of the people he has done business with in the city. So that could be a tremendous matter. That could be a cavalcade of dirt toppling down upon many heads.
Talking with Joe Eskenazi, he's managing editor at Mission Local, and he's been writing about San Francisco's DBI, the Department of Business Inspection. We'd love to hear from you. If you've had any personal dealings with DBI, give us a call at 866-733-6786. Again, it's 866-733-6786. This is a half-hour segment, so if you want to get on now is the time to do that. You mentioned, Joe, earlier when you were describing the so-called system at DBI, that everything is on paper. And I know you've written about why that is. It doesn't have to be that way, of course. Most similar agencies are on computer. Why is it still on paper in San Francisco?
Well, there are some things that you can submit electronically now, which is good because it's a pandemic. Among them are development agreement projects, which are the big ones. And that's where a lot of the money comes from. So that's good. And also accessory dwelling units, which actually the planning department has taken it over, and they're handling it very well, but they're doing that work instead of their work because DBI can't do it. And I believe also 100% affordable projects. So those are all good things. But for perhaps 90% of projects, you have to make an appointment to hand over your paper plans, and that can be a 6 or 7 week wait and then your projects wait with a person after you hand them over. The reason why this is the multi-million dollar question. Some of it is inertia. People don't want to change. But some of it is kind of a botched deal with the government software company Acela, which makes systems that would do all the things that DBI cannot do, such as smoothly keep track of where permits are and do everything electronically. And it just didn't work. And people I've talked to say that the system was buggy and that the Acela people could not get it to do even basic things. But other people I talked to and, you know, make it very clear that DBI's higher-ups did not want what Acela offered, which was transparency and an elimination of the systems that had been exploited so well by Walter Wong and his ilk. What? The status quo was preferable, and no one could have predicted this pandemic, but this pandemic really crippled San Francisco's Department of Building Inspection because it's so reliant upon in-person paper plans for 90% of projects. And when the department hurriedly tried to switch to electronic permitting, it created a disaster. It, you know, after years of resistance, it couldn't just turn on a dime and do this. And so I credit the current leadership with trying, but the prior leadership made their task impossible.
And there must be some legacy people working there, right? I mean, the corruption that has been rooted out probably left behind some seeds. Is that fair to say?
I would say so. I think if you go through, you can find alarming hiring practices at the Department of Building Inspection. You know, it looks like Bill Wyman's family tree. Everyone's related to each other. You know, you have this through multiple different silos of the department. So you get this strange system where on the inspection side, you have large numbers of Irish and Irish Americans. And on the plan check side, you have large numbers of Asians. To the point where I think 87% of engineers in this department are Asian. Now, that's not to say that these people can't do the job. That's not to say Irish people or Asian people cannot do the job. That's absolutely not what I'm saying. What I'm saying here is that you have siloed hiring practices where you're bringing in friends of friends and relatives and things like that, and that leads to an unhealthy situation.
And you said in one of your articles that there are numerous father-son duos of inspectors. What's the significance of that?
I mean, besides nepotism. Think of at least three. And then if you can go through, you can find brothers and sisters and godfathers and godsons and all that on the others, on the plan check side as well. It's very curious.
And who benefits? I mean, it's obvious how if you're a permit expediter and you're getting paid to make your way through this Byzantine system, you're going to benefit. But what about people on the inside? And we're coming up to a break, so if you could keep your answer fairly short. But who else benefits on the inside of DBI from the system?
The system benefits itself, and that's not unique to this department. Much of San Francisco operates as a self-contained system that benefits itself.
All right. Joe Eskenazi is with us till the bottom of the hour. We're talking about San Francisco's Department of Building Inspection. Give us a call at 866-733-6786. Again, it's 866-733-6786. Or you can reach us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer here today, and we are going to continue our conversation with Joe right after a short break. And welcome back to Forum. Scott Schaefer here this first hour, and I'm talking with Joe Eskenazi, Managing Editor at Mission Local. We're talking about the Department of Building Inspection in San Francisco. Give us a call if you have a comment about your experience, 866-733-6786. And let's go to Don in San Francisco. Don, welcome.
Hello.
Hi there. Go right ahead.
Well, I just want to say that this is a very important topic because you guys were discussing, you know, who benefits, who doesn't benefit. And I'd like to shed a little light on it because I've firsthand experienced the corruption of DBI building a restaurant in San Francisco 2013-2014. One of the names that needs to come up to that list is Joe Pinelli, the head of the plumbing department, where when I had some concerns regarding the work that was performed and the fact that my job card was signed off with a final on plumbing and HVAC, and I didn't even have running water or electrical. I didn't even have the tax from PG&E. He completely refused to give me a call back or take any action. And then to shed a light, some of the benefits are the contractors that are they're doing faulty work and bribing the inspectors and getting paid. The inspectors are getting paid by the contractors for them to increase their profits and do the work. For instance, they didn't do Title 24 on my
Don, system. Don, I'm going to interrupt you just because you're kind of cutting in and out. I think we get the gist of your experience, and I appreciate your calling in. But I'm going to ask Joe to respond to your comment generally, but also, you know, Joe, I'm wondering, what have you heard from DBI as a result of your writing, your reporting?
Well, I don't think that there's been any kind of epiphanies. I think that DBI, you know, many at DBI are working hard and, you know, it's a lot to take, you know, I can understand why they're frustrated having their years and years of problems heaped upon their feet at this moment, this cumulative reputation. What I believe the caller is saying is that there's a fealty to the connected contractors more so than the person who seems to be receiving faulty work. And that is something I've heard again and again and again. And God willing, your house will stand up in that earthquake when the inspector just gave a very cursory glance. And maybe there's rebar in your foundation and maybe there isn't because your contractor didn't feel like putting it there. So that's something that I hear again and again and again.
Let's go back to the phones. And Lee in San Francisco, you're next.
Yeah, hi, Joe. I read your writing a lot. It's really good and incisive. But what I want to ask is, yeah, as you know, the U.S. attorney, Anderson, is leaving at the end of the month. He's the guy who has basically led all these investigations and prosecutions. Why do you really think he's being replaced, and what do you think is going to happen next? Thanks.
Thanks, Lee.
Thank you kindly. It is customary for Republican-appointed and specifically Trump-appointed federal attorneys to go. There was a letter from up on high asking all of the Trump-appointed attorneys to resign en masse, and I believe the only two that are being retained are conducting sensitive investigations, and they didn't want to have the appearance of a conflict of interest. Where I am a little bit fuzzy, and I will admit that I'm a little bit fuzzy, is the time frame upon attorney Dave Anderson's departure. I believe he'll be out as of March. That seems a little bit hurried. Oftentimes it takes months to get a replacement in. But I would be shocked if whomever replaces him eases up on the throttle here.
Why do you say that?
I mean in the temporary. the temporary until a full-time person is in.
Yeah.
I do not foresee a temporary person going in and easing up on the throttle here. And I certainly think that, you know, there is an impetus for whatever Mr. Anderson has saved up to come out by the end of the month, perhaps.
And do you think there's always been a lot of speculation about who the, you know, quote unquote, true target of this investigation was, somebody higher up the food chain? Do you have any, you know, what are you hearing about that?
I do.
Okay.
I can tell you what I think.
Yeah.
I think that if you had any doubts about it, the charging documents for Harlan Kelly made it clear that this is a long-running investigation, and it seemed very likely that the original target was Ed Lee. You know, they highlight lots of conversations between Harlan Kelly and Walter Wong, referring to Ed Lee as Mayor 35, because those are the digits on the phone for E and L. And, you know, these, if you read through the documents, a lot of the tapped phone calls and intercepted communications predate Ed Lee's death.
Yeah.
So I don't know what Ed Lee did or didn't do, and he certainly is entitled to innocence, you know, until proven guilty.
Yeah, regardless, of course, that's not going to happen.
he died. Regardless of his corporeal state, you know, and so that it seems likely to me that was the original target.
Yeah.
Obviously, they've pivoted.
Right. Well, Daniel writes, what is Willie Brown's involvement in all these shenanigans? Isn't he connected to every character involved in the Mohamed Nuru controversy?
Yes, but he's connected to everybody. You know, so, I mean, the way that one politician in San Francisco put it to me, mocking a open government activist, is that this man puts Willie Brown behind every mouse fart in City Hall. Willie Brown is certainly involved in lots of things, but because he has his Rolodex probably requires vans worth of trips to move around. So he's involved in lots of things. And because all of these people who are under investigation are his protégés, so are all the people who are not under investigation, and they'll get him or they won't get him. And they never have.
They never have. All right.
It never comes down on Willie Brown, I believe, is the line.
Yes. Yes. Willie Brown famously once said he doesn't use email because the E in email stands for evidence.
And that has been proven again and again in this investigation.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. Matt in San Francisco, you're next.
Hey, thanks, Scott. Tom, great job today. One question or comment I had was purely about a delightful experience with DBI. We were engaged with a building department expediter who said he could get our plans expedited to about 10 to 14 days to get it approved and get a house remodel done. And that night, my wife and I sat down and drew out freehand on 11 by 17 the plans for the house. And I went down the next day to DBI and planning, and we got a full remodel of our home approved within an hour and a half. And I was baffled that it happened, but asked why. And they said, because you're a homeowner, user, you know, self-fame contractor that is disclosing to us what you want to do, and we would be paying taxes on those improvements. And so it was delightful to actually have that happen. And I encourage all homeowners in San Francisco that are looking to do an improvement to try and do it yourself, because it was a delightful experience and got a full remodel approved in an hour and a half.
All right, Matt. Well, good for you. It's fair to say, Joe, that is not a typical experience.
No, and it would be impossible to do now. now because you would need to make appointment in order to have the over-the-counter experience. And in fact, San Francisco built a one-stop permitting center at 49 South Van Ness, and that's great. And I think that for a lot of people that will work out well, but it kind of reinforced the 20th and even 19th century technology that we use of going in person and handing off permits. Now it's all in one place. Essentially, San Francisco built a permitting mall. And you know how malls are doing. So, you know, other places are moving towards automation and being able to do these things remotely. And again, we have a tremendous volume of permits, and perhaps as an equity matter, you should always be able to do things in person if you don't have access to software. But that is the direction we chose to go.
We're getting to the end of this conversation, Joe, but I want to ask you about another point you raised in one of your pieces. And I, by the way, recommend them highly to anybody who hasn't read them. They're in Mission Local. Mission Local, is it .org, Joe?
Correct.
Yeah. And it has to do with racial equity and diversity at DBI. You note that there is not a lot of it. There are many Asian inspectors and other folks working there. There are a lot of Irish, in particular Irish inspectors, very few, if any, African Americans or Latinos. What's going on there? Is this just part of the sort of nepotism, or is there something else?
Yes, and this is complicated, and one has to be delicate in how one talks about these things. But this is what happens when you have nepotistic hiring practices. And again, I'm not saying that any one group cannot do the job, but one group should not exclusively be doing the job. There are plenty of qualified people who do not come from these groups who are not getting hired. And, you know, what I think inspired one of the bases of my columns is that a job posting for a $200,000 manager position was originally only slated to be posted for 6 days, and it wasn't posted widely on any of the internationally read building code job boards. And in addition to that, the educational requirements for San Francisco are much lower than they are in other jurisdictions. And that's fine if you have a big job pool that you look at and if you post it widely and for an adequate amount of time.
Well,
that isn't happening. That means you're steering the job to favored people inside.
And as you point out,
those people tend to look like the people who had the job before.
As you point out, that particular job pays, I think, $205,000 a year, and they weren't even requiring anything more than a high school degree. Not even that. Yeah.
Not if you have years in the field, which of course you would for a senior management position. That's called a substitution. So you wouldn't need any education whatsoever. Theoretically, you could have no education at all.
Nice work if you can get it, I guess. Joe Eskenazi, managing editor at Mission Local. He's been writing about DBI. You can find it at missionlocal.org. Joe, thanks so much for your reporting on this and everything you do. It's a pleasure to read your work.
Thank you. And it's great to hear you on the radio.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be heard. All right, we're going to take a very short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a new film about the fight for higher wages for tip workers. You're listening to Forum. We'll be right back. Attack!
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.